But let me ask you this question. Have you ever really, really, really wanted something in your life? Still continuing with the clay. Have you ever really, really wanted something? Oh, you just really wanted something. Maybe you really wanted a possession. Maybe it was a car, or maybe I really, really, really would like to, whatever it was. Have you ever really wanted something like that? And then when you achieve it, it's a bit of a disappointment. Have you ever, you've experienced that, yeah? Most of us. Let me tell you this. What happens in our lives is very often we really, really, really want to do this with our lives. We're on track. If I just stay on this path now, I'll end up here and I've got it all planned out. And then I can do this and this, and then I'll go there, and then this will happen. And, you know, all according to your will, of course, or if you will, you know. And then I'm going to go and do this and this, and then that'll happen. And we've got it all mapped out. And what happens is we think we're being clever, and we think we're involving the Lord, because we say a little prayer that says, if it be your will, Lord. But you know, that's not really how it should work. How it should work is we should say, you know what? I am open for change. And all my plans and all my little ideas, all my schemes for my life, I surrender them all. I let them all fall. And now it's over to you. What do you want from my life, Lord? Because I'll tell you this, if we do that, what can happen is God surprises us. And that which we thought we would never even want to do, we end up doing, and it satisfies so much more than that thing which we were pursuing all the time. And we come then to an understanding of the importance of yielding our lives to Jesus. Come with me into the scriptures now. This morning, I hope that we're going to look into the anointing. But even before we do, let me read two scriptures to you. The first from Ephesians 4. We touched on Ephesians 4 earlier this morning. Let me just read this to you now. Ephesians 4, from verse 29, I want to read. It says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace into the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." We're looking this morning at the life that is yielded to the anointing of God. It is the anointing of God that causes us to be molded. And I want us to look at the anointing this morning. This scripture that we've just read talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now that tells us that we can possibly grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit if we're hard, if we're being hard-hearted, or if we're being willful. I've got my plans. The Holy Spirit is pressing in on me, a strange thing that I didn't even think of. But no, no, I'm resisting because I've got my own plans. And instead of yielding to Him, I'm set on my course and I'm willful with it. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. This is why we have to be open in our lives, and this is why surrendering our lives daily, surrendering to Him, being surrendered before Him, humbling ourselves before Him is vital for the Christian walk. You see, He wants to do more than we can think or imagine in our lives. He wants to do much more than we can think or imagine. And I've got a big imagination. But He wants to do more than I can think or imagine in my life. The question is, am I allowing the molding to take place? Or am I so set on my course of action? You see? But I have to be yielded. This is why prayer is so important. Spending time with God without an agenda, without pouring. Listen, make your request known to God and then stay there and listen to Him. Listen to what He's saying. Pour out your heart. Make your request known to God and then just stay there and listen and worship Him. Now, let me tell you this. If you're not used to doing that, if you're not used to it, you may be like a hard piece of clay. Let me make a clear suggestion. Start to get used to this. You can take just 1 minute, just literally 60 seconds. Say, for the next 60 seconds, I'm going to just worship God. I'm going to just thank You, Lord, and worship Him. And just start doing that in the day. And 60 seconds here and 60 seconds there, 60 seconds here and there. You see what He can do with 60 seconds. So don't feel condemned if you don't do it now. That's okay. We're moving on. It's 2017. We're moving on, folks. But just start. Okay? And any one of us can manage 60 seconds. I tell you what, for the younger ones who are in school, 60 seconds. You guys in school, 60 seconds. Just worshiping the Lord, 60 seconds. It'll cause you to be head and shoulders above those folks that you go to school with. Just head and shoulders. I think you already are, though. But, you know, it's going to be such a blessing. 60 seconds, that's all. But look what it says here now. Watch this. In James 4:7, it says this. And it says this. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay? So it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And as I was preparing this message, what the Lord told me was that some people, instead of doing this, what they do is they don't submit themselves to God. And instead of resisting the devil, they're resisting the Holy Spirit. Instead of resisting the devil, they resist the Holy Spirit. And then they go to God and say, well, how come this is happening? How come this? How come this? You've resisted Him. I mean, the sentence is plain. Isn't it clear? We can all understand this, can we? This isn't complicated stuff. This is not complicated theology. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But some people are submitting themselves. They're not submitting themselves to God. They're resisting the Holy Spirit. And that's grieving the Holy Spirit. Come with me now, please. Let's go to the New Testament and the book of 1 John 2. This is the word agapao, from the word agape, agapao, which is found in this portion of Scripture. And it's the word for love in the Greek. And it means wish well to, or take pleasure in, long for, or to prefer. Now watch what it says. Do not agapao, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, this is do not wish well to, do not take pleasure in, do not long for, or do not prefer the things that are in the world. You see, folks, the New Testament gives us such a stark contrast between the believer and the world. And what the modern church tries to do is try to say to the world, hey world, we're not so bad, we're just like you. We just added Jesus to the factor. We're just like you. You know, don't feel as if we're strange. We're not so strange. We're just like you. We've just got Jesus as well, and he's a fun guy. He's real, you know, Jesus is a fun guy. You know, you get to know Jesus, you know, yeah, he's a fun guy. And then they dress it up in words like, he's not religious. You know, he's just a fun, he's just so, so. Hey, listen, that is a place where there is no gospel. Because the gospel is this: a complete metamorphosis has taken place in someone who is a believer in Jesus Christ. They are a different species of being now. They are radically different to those who have not encountered Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to the degree that there is no commonality. You may have a nose, you may have a mouth, you may sort of have the same shape as us who are following Jesus. You are nothing like us. We're a different species of being to you. And the world, with its foolishness, tries to categorize people into, oh, they're black, oh, they're white, oh, they're Asian. It's foolishness, utter foolishness. It makes about as much difference as the socks that you wear. Foolishness. There is a categorization, though, and I suggest we take it really serious. It's a biblical one. And this is the categorization that God gives. You are not believers. You have rejected Christ. You, the family of God, have accepted Christ. Amen. That's the big categorization. That's the one, that's the only thing that counts. So enough of the foolishness of the world. We're not going to listen to the foolishness and the lies of the world, are we? No. This is why the Bible is saying to take this position regarding the world. Can you see that now? Because the Bible, folks, is the wisdom of God Almighty. And he knew when he was writing this 2,000 years ago what the situation would be. And it could apply to any age, and it applies to us. And let me just read it again. It says this: do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Look how strong that is. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Have you seen those people in the demonstrations? Talk about pride of life. Those so-called, those famous people, actors and actresses and those singers. So many fools gathered in one place. Fools. Folks, I have to be clear. I got to be really clear, okay? And it's important that I am. Because, look, what I realize is, you see, the devil is that he tried to make a smoke screen and fudge the barriers, and people aren't sure. Oh, and I'm not sure. Oh, you've got an opinion. You've got a good opinion. You've got no opinion. Your opinion counts for nothing. You are the world. I value your opinion. Nothing. Nothing. We need to be strong and clear on it. As the Bible is saying to us, this is what this means. This is so clear, folks. But you see, what happens is sometimes it's so clear. We, you know, there's an expression, you can't see the wood for the trees. Sometimes people have read it often. You know, they haven't really taken on board the meaning. Let's make sure we take on the meaning. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Praise God. How many want to do the will of God in this place? Well, then we need to listen. We need to listen to his voice. We need to be soft, like the clay and molded. And when we're in that position, he has his way with us, and our lives are a testimony to him. And we be and do that which he's called us to do. We become his hands, his mouthpiece on planet Earth, which he called us to do as his body. He says this in verse 18, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Let me just say about the word Christ. Christ isn't, it's not Jesus' surname, is it, folks? Like Stephen Evans, Jesus Christ. No. Jesus was his name. Jesus was his name. That was what he was called. Christ is his office. That's his office, okay? The anointed one. In the Hebrew, Messiah. It's his office. We are Christians. Watch this. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, many prophecies in the Old Testament about the Anointed One, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, or the other meaning for that word anointed, it's part of the meaning actually, is the Chosen One. Jesus, the Chosen One who is anointed. Jesus, the Chosen One who's anointed. Christian, who is a follower of Christ, a chosen one. Christian, a follower of Christ, who's a chosen one. When they called Jesus Christ, it meant Jesus, the chosen one of God and anointed for the task in hand. Are you a Christian? Chosen one of God, anointed for the task in hand. Oh, glory to God. In the same way that Jesus was. This is why Jesus says in the New Testament that we are co-heirs with Christ. We are his very body on earth. We're not second rate. We're his very body. And as his very body, we have been anointed with the same anointing, the anointing of God. And the anointed one, Jesus, now lives in us. And as I yield to the anointed one, guess what happens? Guess. Take a wild guess. I do what he wants me to do. And I be who he wants me to be. And that, my friends, is a very much more interesting life than the one I had planned for myself. So we have to spend time before him, yielding our lives and saying, have your way with me, Lord. It's not my life. Have your way. Watch what it then says as we read these verses in 1 John 2. Let's go to verse 18 here. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist, the anti-anointing, the anti-chosen one is coming. Even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Any religion, any person who doesn't acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, it's an Antichrist. It's of Antichrist. It is anti the anointing. It is anti-Christ. Now that's nice and clear, I hope, for everyone. And let's not play. We can't play with the truth. It's not our truth. You think it's bold to say that today? It's not bold to say that today. It's bold to say it then. When that Bible was written, it was bold to say it. In the throes of Judaism, with all of the backlash that was going on, we have to understand this, know this, and recognize this as the truth for us today, as they did then. You see, for us to worship him in that place that we are before him, know this. The Bible says that we must worship him in spirit, yes, but also in truth. You see, and without that truth, the foundation isn't there. We need solid truth. And so the enemy comes in with lies to fudge the truth, doesn't want the truth to be known. The truth is an absolute. One of the reasons, for example, people are against Donald Trump at this moment in time, President Donald Trump, is this, that he speaks in absolutes. He speaks that this is right, this is wrong. And the age that we live in is an age that has been dependent on and invented a thing called moral relativism. And moral relativism says that, well, it's your truth for you, my truth for me. Who's to say who's right and who's wrong? You're entitled to your opinion and I've got mine. That's what this age believes. But I don't believe that. I believe in absolutes. Good old-fashioned absolutes. That's right, that's wrong. Simple. And the Bible takes that position also. And that's why it says that anyone who doesn't recognize Jesus Christ as who he is an antichrist. It says in verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you. What that means is that as we submit to him in truth, he guides us to know what we need to do. He's encouraging them. Look, you know all truth. It's there. The truth is in you. His name is Jesus. The anointing that we have is Christ. Christ is our anointing. Christ living in us. The anointing of God. Who is a liar? Verse 22. But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you. The anointing teaches you. The anointing teaches us concerning all things and is true. Notice it links truth in, and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Praise be to God. The anointing of God teaching us. My friends, this evening we will go into this in a teaching, in more depth. This morning, as we close now, let me invite us. Let me invite us to stand. Just the keyboards, please. To stand and respond to God. What we're involved with, folks, isn't a game. This is no game. This is life, an eternal life. And God has called us. And there's a portion that we have. There's a part that we have in this body that he has placed us in. And listen, this morning, let me say this, please. Respond to him. Take this opportunity that's been afforded to you this morning and say, yes, Lord, I want to be molded in 2017. If I just spend 1 minute with you, let it be just a minute. Let it be 20 times a day or 30 times a day. Or let it be an hour and let it be 3 times a day or whatever it might be for you. But whatever it is, let me ask you, my friend, to pursue this. Pursue this. And say, listen, I must yield to the anointing of God in my life. I must yield to the anointing of God. I must make a decision of my will that I will be informed by the anointing of God. Anyone who thinks that the information that they're going to get on their Christian lives is solely from their pastor on a Sunday is very misguided. The information that we get is from the anointing, from our relationship with God, from our relationship with God. Let me say now, everyone, listen, everyone still, anyone in the back, listen.